You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 105. My breakfast.
And on the way to work, I like to get a cup of coffee, like the kind of cup of coffee that you get with the donuts. If I never get the donut, I just have the cup of coffee. And when I get to work, I like to have a cup of coffee, because I like to have a coffee when I'm talking on the phone. It usually goes cold, and I need to get another cup of coffee, and it's lunch, and I have an espresso. It's not morning anymore, so I have a Diet Cola and another Diet Cola.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. That was a short clip from one of my favorite novelty tunes, Stress, from the highly caffeinated Jim Infantino of the band Jim's Big Ego. It seems pretty appropriate this time of year, start of a new term. It's a very stressful time for everyone, faculty, students, and staff. So I dedicate this song to our very hardworking technology staff here at USciences. I met Jim when he was on tour in Philadelphia a couple of years ago. I think you'll really get a kick out of this song, so stay tuned for the full song at the end of the podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. As always, I'll post the links to all the sites we talk about on my show notes at rodspulsepodcast.com. Today, the topic is Blackboard Analytics, specifically Blackboard Analytics for Learn. I interviewed Mark Max, who's the vice president of Blackboard Analytics. It's a company that was purchased by Blackboard about 2 years ago that was called iStrategy. So as you'll see, Blackboard Analytics for Learn combines data from the Blackboard Learning Management System, which we happen to use here at USciences, with student and course attributes from the Student Information System to create different reports and dashboards. So we're going to discuss how the product is used by both students, faculty, and the leadership to answer a lot of different kinds of questions. For example, what student activities are correlated with desired outcomes? How easy is it to find students who are at risk? Who are the innovative instructors? How are students performing on learning outcomes over time? And which tool is being used in courses the most, and so on. So there are many questions that can answer. So without further ado, here's my interview with Mark Max. Mark, thanks so much for taking some time today to tell us about Blackboard Analytics for Learn. So first, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and how Blackboard Analytics came to be?
Well, I was the co-founder and CEO of a company called iStrategy that wandered into the higher ed space around 2002. I had started iStrategy with my partner Sean Mallon as a BI and data warehousing consulting firm, and happened to get a consulting project in higher ed to build a data warehouse. Discovered that none of the large players, namely at the time, PeopleSoft and SCT, DataTel, really were focused on analytics. You know, there was a huge market of in other industries for analytic applications. We worked in industries like financial services and healthcare. You know, so we decided to take the work we had done in consulting and turn that into a product. And you know, it took a little while to get started, but we became the market leader in that space in analytic applications for higher ed. I guess it was December 2010, Blackboard contacted us, and we wound up being acquired by Blackboard. And their primary objective there was, you know, to build an analytics platform for the Learn system.
What, if you had to say in one sentence, what the main function of Analytics for Learn is, how would you describe it in a nutshell?
I'd say it's a platform for reporting and analysis of activities and performance inside the learning management system.
My audience probably realizes that most of the time I report on e-learning technology, usually, you know, from the angle of pedagogy and technology that faculty can use to help teach their students. So this is a little bit different than what I normally talk about, but a question that would certainly come up for my audience is, what's in it for them? What's in it for the faculty?
Well, there's quite a bit. You know, there's three themes to the product. And the first and foremost objective is really improving student success. And there we can get into the details around that, but that's one theme of helping improve students' learning outcomes. The second objective is more instructor and institutional focused. It's the theme of optimizing blended and online instruction. So, how do we increase instructor adoption? How do we understand and improve course quality? How do we identify exemplary instructors and promoting best practices? So many believe that, if you do those things well, that in itself will improve student success. But there's, if you look, at the way historically we've positioned our products, they are platforms for reporting and analysis. So our belief is that if you can turn data into information, there's a number of ways to deploy that information. And we're deploying the information in this data warehouse in a number of ways. So students get access to comparative information around how their activity compares to peers. Instructors can look at how their courses compare to peers in their department. They can look at all the students and potentially identify at-risk students. So there's a number of ways that individuals get access to information, including instructional technology and other more institutional type of roles that can look across courses.
I see. So it's not just for the faculty, of course. So maybe the advising center or certainly the provost office can sort of keep an eye on the performance of students across the board. Does the faculty member have to do much? Do they have to be the ones that create the reports, or is there automation that brings information to them, or do they have to go in and run reports?
They have to run a report. However, the report is, there's a link right in the Blackboard Learn application for instructors, and it would look much like the reports delivered with the Learn system. There's a link instead of course reports. It says course analytics, and there are several reports that an instructor can get to directly from Learn. So there's no special tools they have to go into. It's embedded right in the Learn system.
And I assume then, I guess during the implementation phase, the institution would decide who, other than the faculty member, gets access. Is it, in other words, the department chairman, the dean, going all the way up? How is that managed? Is that managed with Blackboard tools, or is that part of the Analytics for Learn package?
That's part of the Analytics for Learn platform. So, we've realized very early on in this process that there's lots of audiences. There's, the instructional technology group. There are academic leaders. There are advisors. The senior leadership team all may have an interest in information regarding, analytic information regarding the LMS in terms of adoption metrics, student success metrics, across the board. There's no practical way, if you're going to deploy an application to thousands of students and instructors, a BI tool-centric approach is just simply not going to work. So we have to keep it simple. So that's why we embedded the access to, student instructors directly into the Learn system. However, there are many tools, some of which we deploy that provide pretty strong analytic capabilities and also dashboards that that require distinct BI tools, so that audiences, a more broad audiences would access the information through BI tools, and those tools would typically provide some sort of interactive capability to drill around and so forth.
I see. So for our audience, BI would be business intelligence, like that's more common terminology in the business world.
That's correct.
Now, it occurs to me, how this would be extremely valuable for a totally online course. As you know, we certainly have online courses and programs here, but the bulk of our teaching is face-to-face, and faculty typically at least put up a syllabus and are using the grade book, but they might not go too far beyond that, maybe a discussion board. What kind of information would be beneficial to a faculty member who teaches more in the traditional face-to-face way?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of information. If you think about all the types of activity in an LMS, one of the things we've found, and this has been pretty consistent across all of the customers so far, is that there's a very strong correlation between activity and grades. So if you were to, in a typical institution that has, a broad set of programs, and you may have some, typical, maybe a public institution or a private, so a school that's not 100% online is going to have, a continuum of some purely online, possibly, probably a lot of hybrid, and maybe some courses that don't even use the LMS. So if you just take the population of courses that use the LMS, there's a very strong correlation between activity and grades. So as many of the researchers we've worked with, John Fritz at UMBC, for example, suggests that activity is a proxy for engagement. And there's clearly, no matter how you cut it, by department, college, class level, there seems to be a strong correlation that suggests the students that use the LMS more in terms of, greater activity, whether it's minutes or, interactions, which are our equivalent of page views, those students tend to have better grades. So then the question is, it doesn't mean that using the LMS gets you better grades, but it does suggest that the students that do better tend to use the LMS more. So, if you kind of buy into, that finding, there's a lot of valuable information then to highlight the students that no matter how you're using the course, even if it's just static content, students that are not logging in, looking at the activity, may be at risk. And so there's a lot of strong evidence. And when you can look across not just one course, but all the courses, or all the courses in a department or a particular college, these patterns really, really bubble up to the top and become very clear.
How about for students? What's in it for students? What do they see? What do they have to do anything? What does it look like, the interaction of the student with the Analytics for Learn?
Well, similar to instructors, students would have a link right in the Learn application that allows them to basically check their activity relative to their peers. And this is something, again, that John Fritz at UMBC has been spent a lot of time in his research around this theme of giving students information, comparative information, as a kind of self-help mechanism, so that the belief is, and there's, as John, I think, has some statistical evidence in some of the things he's done, is that, students, for the most part, they want to do well. And if they believe that, if they have some evidence that suggests they're doing something differently than their peers, they're probably going to want to, if their activity is, suggests that they're less engaged, then the belief is, well, maybe they'll kind of pick up their activity to kind of fit into the norm.
Speaking of sort of the data warehouse and other data related to the student, brings to mind the student information system. In our case, it's DataTel Colleague. Does the Analytics for Learn package interface with the SIS, or is that an extra cost option? Can you tell me about that?
It is something that's provided as a core component of Learn Analytics. I mean, we realized very early on is that if you just look at the LMS, there just aren't that many rich attributes that provide the ability to look across courses, unless a particular institution is using the institutional hierarchy element. There's really nothing that links one course to another in terms of the subject, the department, the college, or even looking at a single course over time. There's just a description of that course. So we realized very early, if we're going to really provide some capability to look top down at an institution perspective, that we needed to link the LMS data to certain elements of SIS data. So what we do is, as part of the core product, is We have pre-built integration with some of the leading ERP platforms, where we actually reach in, pull course attributes, some student information, such as their class level, their major, their academic standing, and so forth, and also the final grade in the course. So we actually have kind of a more standardized benchmark than the LMS Grade Center grade, which what we found is it's just not consistently used across courses. So different instructors use it in different ways. It's not 100% reliable looking across courses in terms of drawing conclusions, but it is very valuable within a course. So we, you know, that's our, what we've found is if we're looking inside of one course, it's very valuable for comparison, because everyone's, you know, assumably the students are all, you know, they have good apples to apples comparative data. When you're looking across courses, the SIS grade is probably a more consistent indicator.
Just from a technical point of view, how easy is it to get started? We're hosted by Blackboard. Is it something that plugs into the existing Blackboard database, or is this a sort of a standalone database that has connections?
It's a standalone database, so which is, you know, typical of a data warehousing environment. It's a separate database server that houses both, you know, the database. There are application servers for the reporting tool. So it's a separate environment that integrates with Learn and other, you know, transactional data sources.
We've been talking about Analytics for Learn, which is, I think, of most interest to my audience. But I understand there's actually a larger product, Blackboard Analytics. Just briefly, what can you say about that? What's sort of the next step up, and what does that encompass?
So it's the whole platform of ERP. You know, think of, you know, student, finance, HR, and even advancement. So it's, you know, we've tried to focus on a stack of analytics on top of the ERP. Analytics for Learn is the first introduction into another type of platform.
Well, listen, I think that's it's a great review of what Blackboard Analytics for Learn is all about. I appreciate your time. I think, is there anything you want to say about, as a sort of a final word, and what is there anything new, any new release that's coming down, any new capabilities that would be of interest?
It's continual evolvement. It's the one thing with a product platform like analytics, there's really no endpoint. There's, you know, virtually an unlimited number of challenges that we can help our customers with. And there's always the next capability around the corner. You know, there's really a focus, a heavy focus within Blackboard on student risk and retention. So, you know, you'll be seeing the platform evolve to continue to provide more capabilities around that area.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you very much, Mark, for spending some time with me this morning.
My pleasure, Rod.
That's my message for today's episode. I hope it helped you learn what Blackboard Analytics for Learn is all about. So don't forget to check the links on my show notes at rodspulsepodcast.com. And now stay tuned for the full song Stress from Jim's Big Ego. Until next time, have a great week.
That's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long, and I hang around like a bum. I think I'm going nowhere, and that makes me nervous. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you when you weren't paying attention. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you when you weren't paying attention. Trying to cut down on my caffeine consumption. So when I get up, I just have one cup of coffee, and I like to have another cup of coffee with my breakfast. And on the way to work, I like to get a cup of coffee, like the kind of cup of coffee that you get with the donuts. If I never get the donut, I just have the cup of coffee. And when I get to work, I like to have a cup of coffee, because I like to have a coffee when I'm talking on the phone. It usually goes cold, and I need to get another cup of coffee, and it's lunch, and I have an espresso. And when I get back, it's not morning anymore, so I have a Diet Cola and another the Diet Cola. But then I'm feeling fine, and I'm feeling pretty sharp, and I'm feeling pretty wired, and I'm getting things done. But right about 2, I get this little tiny migraine. It starts by my eyes, and it moves to the back of my neck, and it moves to the bottom of my spine. But it doesn't get there till 5 or 6 o'clock, which is the end of the day. So I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine. Except when I have to work late, when I have to work late, which I usually do. Addicted to stress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long, and I hang around like a bum, and I think I'm going nowhere, and that makes me nervous. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me. Hey, how you doing? Looking good. You been working out? Yeah, I can tell. Alright, see you later. I love to work, I love to roll, I love to play real hard. I love to steal little things from the grocery store, like a piece of bubble gum, or sometimes I just stick my thumb in a peach and leave it there. I love to work, I love to roll, I love to water ski, snowboard, jet ski, skydive, parasail, hang glide, rollerblade, mountain bike, bungee jump. Well, I mean, I'd love to do these things if I ever had the time. I love to work, I love to work, I love to work out after work. I love to spend a little time with this one I'm seeing, except we never really get all time to spend together, so we call each other up and we talk about work. But what I think I really love is to get up on myself on a little tiny island in the middle of the ocean with just me and a book and a cellular phone and a personal computer in case something came up. And I'd eat and I'd drink and I'd run and I'd sleep and I wouldn't do nothing except swim all day. So, you know, my beeper doesn't work underwater. Where are the sharks? Where are the sharks? Where are the sharks? And there's this kind of anemone that sticks in your foot and the poison goes up to your brain and you die. And sand, please! Sand, please! But actually, I think it'd be really relaxing. Just me by myself in the middle of the ocean. And that's what I really love to do more than anything else. Except I probably hate it. Addicted to distress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long. And I hang around like a bum. I think I'm going nowhere and that makes me nervous. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.